call the meeting to order this evening. We'll start with a moment of silence and then the pledge to the flag. Time to hear, so you can stand. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, well, welcome. It's great to see the turnout here this evening, especially in the summertime. Everybody's busy, so hopefully we don't get a lot of more rain tonight. Had enough here. Before we get into citizens' comments, Board Member Jones had introduction.
Thank you, everyone, for coming out, especially because I brought a special guest with me tonight from Sweden and wanted to see how democracy in America works on a local level, so at least he can see that there's a lot of participation.
Guys, you each get $20.
Welcome. Thank you for coming. Do we have any residents of the school district that wish to address the board this evening? Okay, and any others? All right, if you come to the microphone and state your name and where you reside, then you have the floor.
Sure, my name is Chris Buck. I reside 1181 Sheep Hill Road in Newholm. And I just wanted to come up here very briefly. I have my four children in here, so I won't stay too long. But just, first of all, just to thank all of you. This is a thankless job. I know that, and so I'm here to thank you. Thank you for the time that you gave up, and I know it's a sacrifice. And thank you also to any administrators in here, teachers in here. I know it's also a sacrifice for you. I also want to just take a quick moment just to quickly pray for us and for our school district, if you don't mind, if you're comfortable, just join in, just for a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us such a wonderful part of this county, God, to reside in, to try to turn it into the place that you would have for us, God. And so I ask for wisdom for all the people here, God, the administrators, the school board members, the teachers, anybody who has an impact here on this, on Elanco, God. I just ask that you just impart a blessing upon them, God. Give them wisdom and guidance, Lord, as they make important decisions for all of us. Thank you for the lives that you've given us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, we have a special presentation.
We do. Thank you, Mr. President. I'd love to introduce Ms. Julie Groff. I know you've probably all met her at this point by this time already because of the number of presentations that she's done. I didn't say by reputation, Julie. Julie is here. She was unable to get here earlier this year, but she's the winner of the Be Impactful Award, if you recall. Julie, just stand up just so we can talk to you. I know you know about Julie's energy. You've seen it firsthand at some of the board meetings here with all the activities that she does for the on behalf of the entire school district and the community with the health council, the school health council, both trying to keep us fit adults here as well as students. It's a great organization that she runs, she leads, and is the envy of the county. I hear from all my superintendents, where did you get Julie Groff, how can I get her, et cetera, et cetera. And when they go to those meetings, we're just light years ahead because of Julie's leadership and the team that she has. She's got a great group to work with too. So I do want to also acknowledge Julie for that. But back to the Be Impactful Award. This is the third year this has been awarded. This is a private award given to teachers after a lengthy vetting process. The committee that is unrelated to the school, it's a private committee that sits down and looks at the comments and the recommendations from teachers, from colleagues, from students, and actually community members can put information in as well. And Julie was the winner this year. So we were thrilled to present that to her. It's an awesome moment. We get to walk into a class where she was teaching at the end of the school year when things are really crazy and really hectic, and give her that award in front of her students, which was really extra special, I think, and certainly well-deserved. Julie is an awesome colleague. Does great things in both the inner classroom and for our community, and it's just one of the bright spots, one of many bright spots, but one a real bright spot in high school in terms of the culture and climate that we enjoy and love. So, congratulations to Julie. I'm thrilled that you were chosen. Another great choice among the folks who have been chosen so far. So thank you, Julie. Thanks for coming out to us. We'll offer one more round of applause. And Julie, if you have anything to say, we'll glad to hear from you. You never turned down a microphone before.
You have to get it.
You don't have to be. You know, you've never met a microphone you didn't like. Talk about something we're going to do this year for health counseling. Do you have any ideas?
So I moved my son, who went to Penn State this summer. He did the 6-week summer session, and he's going back this Friday. And I wore the hashtag Be Impactful shirt to move his things out of his dorm room. And I love wearing the shirt. I love the fact that I was selected for this award. And I think it's a huge thing for me to teach my kids that they need to make an impact wherever they go. So that's why I wanted to wear it when I was moving him from one dorm to another. And so I'm going to use, I always take a saying that the teachers have to do 4 challenges each month. And the words I'm going to use this year are make and impact. So I'm going to kind of take this award, and then challenge them as well. So thank you very much. I love my job. I love what I do. My students are awesome. My administrators are awesome. And Justin's awesome. You guys are great. So I would not have won this award without all of your support.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Justin.
Thank you. She keeps me informed on everything going on in high school. So, thanks.
Any other comments? Okay. Well, thanks a lot, and very well deserved. And they've had an impact on a lot of students. Before we get into the personnel report, did we have any comments or introductions?
Yes. There is a late addition to the personnel report.
Okay.
Just so you're aware, we have hired a secondary business education teacher. She said yes today. So we put her on here because we're starting and now we're full, which is very good. Okay? And then we do have 2 of our recent candidates who have accepted positions here that I'd like the principals to introduce, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
You want to start?
Sure.
Mrs. Schrantz?
This is Megan Pinkerton. So she's joining the Elanco team at Blue Ball this year. She's going to be a PM kindergarten teacher and support our first grade instruction as well. So she's a Manheim Township graduate. Undergrad is from Temple. And last year she was long-term sub at Marcus Hook outside of Philadelphia. So very new environment, but we're excited to have her bring her skills and her passion to what we already do in the Elanco area. Now they'll ask you a question. but I answered one of his key ones already. So.
I always throw a curveball in there a second.
There you go.
If you weren't in education, what other field do you think you might have gone into if you hadn't decided to teach?
Boy, I always wanted to be a teacher. I really like interior design. I love HGTV. I've always wanted to be a teacher. I'm not sure.
That's fine.
Great answer.
Mr. Simon.
Good evening, everyone. This is Kyle Farkas. He's joining us this year from Cedar Cliff, where he taught about a year and a half. Undergrad at Elizabeth Town, and then got his teaching certificate at Millersville University. So he'll be a tremendous asset to our science department. He teaches chemistry. So we're happy to have him join us.
You had a little time to think about that.
For me, I would like to do something like aerospace related. Always wanted to be an astronaut. One of those things where like it's still on my bucket list, even though I'm never gonna get there. So you know.
Oh, yeah, that's the irony, because I often say I grew up in the '60s and the space program was always a big thing. Spacecraft were taken off the Mercury, Gemini, Apollo. Everybody my age, you know, wanted to be an astronaut. It's still here on Earth anyway.
Yeah.
It's come full circle.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Okay. That's it? Okay. So then we have the personnel report, and we need a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second? Brian will second, I guess Tom will say. Were there Was there any other discussion or questions or comments regarding the personnel report? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. It is approved. We'll move into the property and services. Mr. Ramsey.
Yes, I do have two action items for next Monday night. There are two items that you see every year. The first one is to authorize myself to sign the non-public transportation contracts that we have. There is no increase in the per day per student rate this year, so any change in cost will be based on number of students being transported. And the second item is the approval of the bus drivers and bus assistants. We'll have that list, the most current list we have, next week for your approval. We're still finalizing some of the non-public carriers and some other things, so we'll have the most up-to-date list next week for you.
Okay.
Moving into the information items, we have some representatives. We have Chris Barnett from Crabtree Woodball Associates. We have Ken Kaufman from Moore Engineering. He's on the mechanical, electrical, and plumbing side. And we have Jim Hawker on the civil side, the site side. So Chris is going to present or kind of briefly discuss the cost estimates of our capital improvement plan that every all board member should have received in advance for your review. I hope you had a chance to review it. This first phase is only looking at our existing buildings, the current condition, and what we may anticipate over the next 1 to 3 and 4 to 10 years. So the second phase will then get into site improvements, i.e. maybe some athletic improvements, as well as the additional property that we purchased next to Blue Ball, when we take a look at the different types of enrollment growth we may or may not have. So that'll be the second phase, hopefully should be coming this fall. But the first one that you're going to take a look at is just our existing buildings and what type of repairs that are going to be needed and upgrades. So I'm going to turn it over to Chris.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Again, I'm Chris Barnett with Crabtree Woodball Associates. We are in the process of just completing the feasibility study for the district. And as part of that feasibility study, we want to assess each building as far as what we call capital improvements / maintenance items. These, I want to be clear, don't represent every item that could possibly be recommended for adjustments or modifications to the buildings. That'll come towards the end when we do the entire feasibility study package together. And that'll also include options and things like that. But as far as this phase, what we did was we broke it down by each school, then we broke it further down into each category. So as you see, we have site, we have architectural, and then mechanical, electrical, plumbing. And as Mr. Ramsey alluded to, we also broke it down further into items that we suggested or were recommending to address in 1 to 3 years, costs associated with that, and then 4 to 10 years, and potential costs associated with that. So some of these are pretty straightforward. Again, if you want to look at Blue Ball first, that slide there is actually a summary of all these items that I'm going to talk about now, so that's on your last sheet. If we want to look at Blue Ball real quick, site improvements, again, we have a couple here, asphalt, paving and repair, some concrete work, and expanded playground equipment. Again, maintenance items, we're looking at these as maintenance items. 1 to 3 years, potential costs, 4 to 10, additional potential costs. Architecturally, the only item I had was replacement of the retaining wall and the exterior stairs, which I'm sure everyone's familiar with there in the front. And then your mechanical, electrical, and plumbing upgrade systems. What we did was then, at the end, we gave an estimated construction cost, both the 1 to 3 year cycle and the 4 to 10 year cycle. If we would have made a project out of that, what the estimated soft costs would be, and then add the two up to get total project costs.
It's a pretty...
So I guess if you could just step back and mm-hmm. explain, are these recommendations of projects that we need to do, or are these projects that if we feel like?
Right now it's pretty much for informational purposes. This will be lumped in, you'll see, as when the feasibility study is complete, it'll be lumped in with other recommendations that the district compensated to each building, but this is just giving you a magnitude of things that you may want to consider just solely for the building itself.
And under unit, can you, what LS, SF?
LS is lump sum, and SF is square footage. We base the estimate based on either lump sum cost or cost per square foot.
I wanted to give you just a brief summary because there's some pretty big numbers there. I thought you're probably wondering what it's about.
So my question, the electrical system.
So the MEP systems, mechanical, electrical, plumbing, the recommendations there are based on a 20-year life cycle of systems. That's what that's based on. So this would be if you were to upgrade the systems. At Blue Ball, one of the challenges you have is you have a two-pipe heating and cooling system. I think most of you are probably familiar with that is, but it does provide some limitations on your system. So as we start to look at renovating, fixing up equipment that might be at the end of its life cycle, the question would be, would you want to replace something that's limiting you now with something that's going to limit you in the future? So we looked at it as saying, okay, let's look what would happen if you would look at a 20-year life cycle, or when you get to dealing with that building, what the cost of a new system would be. So what you're seeing there, the reason those numbers are large is because it's a different type of system. It's something that's going to give you heating and cooling year-round. You're not going to have the changeover times in the spring and the fall. Actually, these last few years, you're not going to have the issues you've had in the winter where you have a warm temperature in January, February, and you can't provide cooling, or vice versa. If you have a cold day, when you're in the heating cycle, the cooling cycle, you can't provide heat. So that's why those numbers are where they're at right now.
I guess that would be based on, you have natural gas to that building now, so it would still be a natural gas heating system.
Yes, yeah, it would be still be a, what we're recommending would be a four-pipe system, so you would still use boilers and chillers, and just you would need to provide another set of pipes, and the equipment that's there, that it's connected to, the end devices, the air handlers, the unit ventilators, can't support four pipes, so they would have to be changed out to people.
Yeah, I get that. I guess the electrical system upgrade was a little bit more to me, it seems like.
Yeah, so electrical, what happens there with some of that is, again, some of it's age-based. But when you start to replace systems, you're going to be taking things out. For example, you'd have to take the ceilings down. So if you're taking the ceiling down, you're probably going to be relighting the building. So things like that are in that. It's essentially a comprehensive renovation.
Sure.
Or just for your comfort level, keep in mind two things. Blue Ball is the oldest building in our fleet. It's been over 20 years since we touched it. And this isn't, you're not voting tonight to take any action. This is just information.
Right.
It's just sort of the opening conversation, if you will, about some of the things we need to plan for going forward. And we're in a very advantageous position that we can actually plan ahead. We're not reacting. This is really forward thinking and just getting things on radar so we know what's coming.
When you're talking about replacing lighting, are you talking about like LED or something higher energy efficiency or whatever?
Yeah, pretty much anything we would do that is going to increase efficiency. The chiller is 20 years old. Chiller technology is going to save energy. The boilers are actually in fairly good shape. The burners are aging, so you can replace the burners and get more efficient burners. Same with lights across the board.
Any in these figures throughout any of these buildings, talk about electrical or HVAC system upgrades, is there any technology in this, or is this pretty much run it from
that is what we use to base the numbers on, are the system that you have actually in part of the high school. You're not all your high school is four pipe. It's pretty much New Holland is four pipe, so it'd be similar to that. It's a similar type of system, but we certainly can put green in. Those are just middle of the road numbers at this point.
And
Breckler. I'm sorry, Breckler. Yeah, Breckler.
So as you can see, as you go scale through the rest of these buildings, Brecknock Elementary is a lot more clear cut. We didn't identify anything from a mechanical, electrical, plumbing standpoint or architectural. We did identify some site maintenance items. New Holland, again, architecturally nothing. Site, some limited maintenance items, and then your MEP systems. And of course, those costs are adjusted based on the size of the building. Garden Spot, we did do some capital improvement identification for the site. Architectural roof replacement, I did identify a roof replacement for the Ford 10-year. It's an EPDM roof now, which is in fair, decent condition, which is why I was saying maybe in the Ford 10-year period we'll be considering replacing that. Your gym roof is a little bit newer, and that's in better shape, so I don't have a number on there. And then there are some, we identified some basement garden walls at the rear of the building that the vision may not consider replacing. Then your LED system is installed. We also included not only the schools, but we also included your maintenance building, which is the last sheet. Again, because of the size of the building, the cost isn't as much, or the estimated construction costs aren't as much, but some limited site work. We talked roof replacement. The EIFS is exterior insulation finish system. That's the infill system. It's deteriorating. And then some overhead doors that we're recommending that potentially be replaced as well. And then some MEP systems, just more or less upgrades, especially with the plumbing end, with some of the domestic water and a few insulation upgrades. Add all this up, and then that last sheet is what you see at the end, which is basically where we gave a summary of each. Again, each building, 1 to 3 year period, and 1 to 4 year. And again, just to reiterate, these are information that will include, when you start to see the study, there will be other items of suggestion that the board may want to take into consideration in addition to these. But these are kind of more or less your, what we're identifying as your maintenance items, your building infrastructure components.
Can you just ask what types of information did you use to build this report?
Architectural, we did site visits, we did building surveys, we got information from previous drawings, we met with Neil and walked the buildings and documented from previous construction documents.
About how many hours?
I would say it's more weeks than hours.
Same process.
Any other board members? Questions?
Just to echo what Dr. Hollister said, I mean, again, this is more of a, you know, crystal ball, next 1 to 3 years, possible cost that you may see us coming to you for 4 to 10. Nobody knows an exact time frame of when things are going to go, but it's a way of being proactive. You'll notice on the spreadsheets, the older buildings, i.e. Blue Ball, have a lot of the needs in the near future, and then New Holland 4 to 10, because that's the next oldest building. From the high school, middle school perspective, you know, as you know, that's had some modifications, renovations, additions throughout the year. When we did this project, there were some newer renovations or additions that weren't touched, i.e. the roof was replaced prior to that renovation, as well as the new gym. So that's why you see some higher numbers in those areas, more in the 4 to 10. But again, I want to thank Crabtree Warbaugh, Moore Engineering, and Dirk and Edson. They did a phenomenal job, and same thing with Neil as well. Neil has knowledge of these buildings and these systems like you wouldn't believe. So the team really put a lot of time into it to really put this in front of you, and I want to again thank them for all their efforts.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. So as far as next procedure, we'll bring stuff to you in smaller bites as we develop actual plans for some renovations. Blue Ball and most likely will be one of the first stops because it's been 20 years at Blue Ball. The next component of this, as Pete said at the beginning, would be actually speculating if we would have significant changes in population, either up or down, most likely up, and that may affect some of our thinking with this as well. So we're in no hurry here, but we're just trying to get the discussion started. Part of this is long-term planning as we think about administration turning over the next 5 years and what that leadership looks like and where we want to place the district as leadership begins to switch out. I'm talking about this table here, basically, in the next 5 to 10 years. So we need to start making plans for some of that as well, which is a part of why we're having these discussions.
Okay.
Neil's going to take off his director of facilities hat, and he's now going to put on his director of transportation hat. And we wanted to share some changes that are going to occur this upcoming school year. And as he goes over the changes, just keep in the back of your mind the underlying themes, safety of students, efficiencies, and trying to maximize, minimize costs and maximize reimbursement. So just kind of keep those in the back of your mind as he kind of goes through this.
Yeah, one of our goals was to try to streamline what we're doing. We did contact a lot of schools, we looked at websites. We want to make our program a lot more efficient. And some of the things that I'm going to talk about tonight are things that you may get some calls over. Things that we were doing that other schools were not doing. And I think one of the biggest ones, and I've had some calls already, and when I explain it to the parents, they understand it. But one of the new policies is that when a student is assigned a stop, they are going to have, the parent is going to have the kids have a consistent stop for AM and PM 5 days a week. What I found really early when I got into transportation was we were almost acting like an Uber. And some of these our students had 5 or 6 different stops. And depending on what day or what day mom called, we were switching kids to different buses. They were going to different parts of the district. And it is a nightmare trying to keep track of these students. And it worried me right away is I don't know how accurate we would be if we had an accident, because the rosters couldn't possibly be updated every day. So the parent may have 2 stops, but that has to be consistent AM, PM. And the letter that we're sending out is going to explain it. For instance, I used a Kinder House as an example. If you have your student go to Kinder House, and they only go to Kinder House 3 days a week, okay, on the days that we drop that student off at Kinder House, basically the parent will be responsible for the other 2. They either take the student to school, or they may take the student to Kinder House to get on the bus. Same way in this, it's going to be the opposite in the afternoon. We are going to, of course, make exceptions for split custody, but we're asking for a custody agreement. So I think that's probably the biggest change that people are going to have to get used to. And again, it was something that we were one of the few districts that were still doing it, and it's unmanageable. It's just unmanageable. Another thing that we looked at is we were doing some things that were, like for instance, the buses were still carrying emergency procedure cards. And these emergency procedure cards were just all over the place. And then there was a bus that there was a substitute driver, or we had to switch buses because it was a breakdown. We decided we're going to automate that. All the information that we have in our hands with PowerSchool, we can run a roster every day if we want. And we're going to make sure that the buses are have more up-to-date information, and it's not the driver's responsibility to get the cards. Drivers were responsible for getting these cards. Students that have any kind of medical issues, that will be identified differently on a separate tab, and the special needs department, all of those buses will have A to Z with all their kids, and the drivers will know, and everybody will be trained in what needs to be done if there's an accident, or even if the kid needs an EpiPen. We decided, another thing that we found was if we had a student problem on the bus driver would fill out a triplicate form and take it into the principal every day. And I'm sure Heather and Matt can tell you, in the first few minutes of the day is an awful crazy day. Time for them, and not sure that they want to see the bus driver demanding to see the principal about some kid that might be standing on the bus. So what we decided to do is all the conduct reports are going to come to us first, and we're going to look and see if it justifies involving the principal. There's I was looking through some of these conduct reports, and I think there's probably 20-30% of the things we could take care of in-house through the drivers. We are not going to be disciplining kids. That's when we'll get the principal involved. But there's things that we can do, and it, sometimes it might even be a driver issue. And we're trying to take some of that work off of the principals. Some of the things that we're looking at in the future is, hopefully this is the last year we're going to have to send letters out. You know, the letters are going to go out tomorrow, and in a week's time, they're going to be outdated because we still register kids. Sometimes there's kids switching buildings, there's new students, 15, 16 changes a day. And sometimes, depending on how many there are on a particular, in a particular school, in a particular area, we'll have to call the parents and readjust the route after we just sent them the time we're going to be picking their kids up. So if our hopes is if we can put this all online, it will be live all the time. All the parents will have to do is go into the new transportation tab, and actually the bus software will automatically update it. And it's just a matter of connecting the parent with that software. Some other things that we've been working on, Mr. Ramsey and I have been trying to work with some other schools to see if there's some efficiencies that we can make with maybe partnering up with schools that are sending kids out of the district. Some of it's special needs, some of it's homeless, that maybe we can work with schools like Peckley Valley, or we can work with CV and say, wait a minute, why are we all going past each other when maybe we can do transfers? And you help us out here, we can help you out there. So that's something we've had a couple meetings on, and everybody seems to be really interested in doing that. The biggest thing I think we made from a student standpoint is we are going to enact a policy that if a kindergarten student does not have a responsible person at the stop to get them off, that could be a parent, that could be another sibling, we are not going to let them get off the bus. They are going to stay on the bus, the driver will call us, we will start making phone calls, and the driver will keep that student on their bus until the last student is off. If we don't have any results at that point, getting on the parent, we're going to be taking the student back to the school of origin. Yep, and well, hopefully that won't happen, but if there's nobody at the building, then they're going to come back to the district office. Other than that, I think that's about the only change, other than in the secondary. We have a problem with students not getting on the bus in the secondary. They're getting on the bus late, or they weren't getting on the bus, and it made us have to bring our buses back. So the policy this year is after the bus leaves the parking lot, the student's not on the bus, they're staying at the 4 o'clock bus. And some people say, what's the big deal if the bus is down the road 2 or 3 minutes? If you're going down 23, 2 minutes this way, it's gonna take 4 minutes to figure out how to turn it around. You gotta come back, pick the student up. Now you're already 10, 15 minutes out, you gotta get to an elementary, and that affects 50, 60 other kids. Then we're on the phone trying to call parents saying, you know, we're 15 minutes late. So that's pretty much the majority of what we're
changing. So I appreciate Neil. He dug into this and started discovering a lot of these things, and not that we didn't know about them, or transportation didn't know about them, but figured it was time to pull that in. It's one of those things where no good deed goes unpunished. And a few exceptions were made back in the day when someone needed a special trip to another house that just multiplied and multiplied to the point where we were really serving as the doctor service. One of the challenges in addition to bus coordination was getting word to students. What we would have is secretaries getting phone calls late in the afternoon, get this note to my kid, I want my kid to get up, go on a different bus and go to a different stop. And we're trying to communicate all that throughout the building. You're interrupting classrooms, getting those to teachers getting those to kids. So we're stopping all that. Parents are going to need to be responsible and know where their kid's coming and make plans accordingly. That's going to be a challenge because it's going to be a difference. So we do expect some phone calls, and you'll take them, I'll take them. You may hear from some folks as well. But we'll make you aware that for several reasons. One of the other challenges is that if we had students jumping buses, the bus drivers didn't know the kids. We have our buses scheduled tight. We don't have extra seats to have extra kids on certain buses. So there have been all kinds of challenges with rostering, making sure that all kids are safe. Sometimes we have an overloaded bus because a few students are going to somebody's house who was having a homework party or whatever. So we're trying to tighten all that up. The kindergarten thing was a decision we made. We talked about that at length, but we do feel that it's just in students' best interest. No kindergarten students would get off the bus alone. It's just pretty common sense. So even if there's a slightly older sibling, second or third year, or third grader, that's responsible enough. Someone who can make a phone call if there's a problem. And so the kindergarten kid isn't alone getting off the bus and walking up some of the lanes that we have that are lengthy. So a couple of changes, tightening it up for security reasons. So we wanted you to be aware because those letters will go out tomorrow. And as Neil said, he's already gotten some requests from parents. He explained to me there was one parent who was calling and changing the stop there. It was always a guess as to where we're going to put that kid. So it's one of those things, again, as I said earlier, no good deed goes unpunished. We try to be flexible with people, try to help people out, and that catches on fire, and now everyone has that expectation. So we're going to rein that back in. Are there any questions or concerns?
Remind me of the kindergarten. We don't transport in the middle of the day, just the boys. You can get on in the morning, or you can get off in the afternoon.
That's correct. And what we found out, what Neil discovered, was that some bus drivers were doing that just because, and others weren't. So there was a really inconsistent. Some bus drivers would let kindergarten students get off the bus, but others weren't. So we're trying to be consistent with how we're laying out the protocols as well.
Okay, great. Any questions?
So I think most of this is absolutely fantastic and common sense in most instances. I'd like to know more about, and I certainly understand there are, I think we've discussed this, the bus and the cafeteria are where all or the majority of behavior issues arise, and the children aren't supervised like they are in the classroom and other parts of the school. And so, you know, I certainly agree that having multiple bus drivers, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's every bus driver brings you a report in the morning. But I guess my question is, when you say we will decide if it's how it should be addressed, I don't know who the we is.
The we will be the transportation department, and we're going to, of course, bring in Brightville. Okay. Because Brightville is technically in charge of the drivers. They hire the drivers, they train the drivers. And right away we can get on and we can look at video and just see exactly what the situation is. Like I said before, in no circumstance are we going to discipline a kid. Are we going to talk to a student? When we're trying to get to the meat and potatoes, find out exactly what is going on before we waste the principal's time in something that is ridiculous.
So then, do you mind walking me through how it goes now? So a report goes to the principal, and then is it your responsibility to do all of this investigative work?
Absolutely. Yes. I can speak on, I mean, when I get bus reports in the morning, like, I'm discussing it with the child, figuring out what's going on by 9:15. Like, it's immediate while it's fresh there. So
one of the challenges that we're trying to, it's not what you would think. It's a handful of bus drivers who dump loads of paper every day. So it's, the concern is it a bus driver issue? Is it an adult issue? The bus issues that the principals hear about that go on will continue to be investigated because the bus driver won't even know about it until someone comes out of the office and says something happened on the bus to the administrator, different case. We're just trying to be consistent with the enforcement and the discipline referrals that actually get to the administrators. Does that make sense, Rob? If it does, I can talk more.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I'm just wondering, you know, without some examples, maybe there is an issue that an administrator needs to look at, but on the video, it's not apparent, and it gets, I don't know.
Maybe we are going to clarify to the drivers that if it is anything that rises to an emergency, then they bypass us and go right to the principal. If they hear the word of a weapon, or there is somebody, if there's a fight, anything serious is going to go to the principal right away. What we're trying to do is say, listen, you have a new driver, and they want to go to the principal and say, well, a bus of 72 elementary kids is loud. Well, maybe you shouldn't be a driver.
Well, so then, now I get that, but then it's still a little subjective. So what's serious? Is a verbal threat serious?
Absolutely.
But you wouldn't see that if the bus driver, you got to record and you watch a video. It's audio, it's not video.
So you have video and audio.
Oh, there's audio.
Oh, yeah.
But there's not a list of definitions of what's serious and what's not serious.
No, there's not this.
That'd probably be hard.
What's it scared about?
Probably be hard.
Yeah, it's hard to have.
It's
subjective.
And for the last question, are we doing the swipes yet?
Yep.
On and off.
It's more successful in the elementaries than it is in the secondary.
What determines that success rate, you know?
What determines it?
Yeah, is there an accountability you don't require at the secondary level? Or?
You know, train the drivers to say to the kids, swipe the card, swipe the card, swipe the card. But if they don't swipe the card, we really don't have a way to enforce it. And we don't want the driver to get in confrontation with an 11th grade boy who decides, I'm not swiping this card. So it's tough. We've talked in length about that. There has been some schools that tried to, I believe, deny transportation, and that didn't go over real well. Can't deny transportation. So that's something we're working on, trying to work on it. I don't know what the answer is, and I've talked to other transportation directors, and nobody really has an answer. You try to make it a cool thing, but you know, we notice things like nobody, if it's pouring down rain like it was today, there's no time for kids to swipe their cars by the way in the rain. Sometimes they just get on the bus. So, I would be open to suggestions for that.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought that might help address some of the roster questions you're talking about. You know, which kids are on which buses at what time.
So maybe the next generation of cards would be like an easy pass when they walk past it. They don't have to swipe there. I mean, that's probably, technology is probably there, right?
It's one of those things, quite honestly, the secondary administration just didn't want to take on. I mean, at Elko, where they launched this, they got to the point where they were suspending kids over there. I'm not going to do that. That's just silly. So one of the hopes, there's two hopes. One is, as this perks up from the elementary, more and more kids will do it. So this year at the middle school, we asked Mr. Strong, Mr. Good, to hold kids more accountable for swiping on. Eventually, they'll perk up at the high school. The second thing is, once, and I say once, our Here Comes the Bus app is functioning and working, I think parents will be part of the incentive because they're going to want to be able to pay attention to where their kids are. Right now, that app isn't working, so there's no incentive for parents to encourage their kids to swipe on. It just really isn't. There may be once that happens.
And Elko has backed off on that policy.
Yes. Elko backed off. Yes.
It would be like a frequent flyer type of program.
Spartan
Bucks or whatever.
We've tried to address it. We've talked about okay, so the kids who don't have their cards go on last. Well, that doesn't work either because you got kids tripping out of the building the whole time. You know, it's a bus driver to make
And security too. The longer they're standing there.
There's just a practicality to it that's very. Is it worth enforcing?
All right. Well, that can be a goal.
Melissa still has a question.
Back to the conduct issue. What do you expect the turnaround time for things that come to you as an administrative group, as opposed to the principal finding out immediately the first thing?
I think the turnaround is going to be within a day.
Okay.
That would be
if it lingers, if there is an issue and it lingers, that.
Because it was lingering the opposite way too, because many times the principals did not want to do something until they talked to us and we talked to the driver and
okay.
we got them on the
okay.
on the video.
I just wondered what you
yeah.
were seeing as that time.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Thanks for that report. Mr. Walsh?
Yeah, I just want to give some kudos to Neil. I'll tell you, he's truly exceeded our expectations in this role. As you know, Neil, he just jumps in with both feet, takes the bull by the horns, and excels in everything he does. So there's times that he'll call me up, and I'm like, oh, no. Have a rough day. He's deciding, did I make the right choice? But
and then when the two of them walk in my office together, I go, oh, no. So we've had some difficult conversations about this all summer, but we think we've landed.
So he's doing a great job, and we want to just publicly thank him for all he's doing. That ends my report. Just real quickly, I want to let you know that the barn demolition bid is out on the street, and we've had a lot of interest, so we're hoping that this time around will be a little different than last. Bid opening is September 5th.
Here, anybody wants to come? And what is the bid opening? It's interesting.
Okay. So that is my report.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments on property and services? Hearing none, we'll move into the program.
Good evening. I have two action items for next week. The first is your approval of the piano lab for Garden Spot High School.
Yes.
You can come and learn how to play if you want to.
I did take piano lessons.
That's good. You've had this to look at for the month, and I haven't heard any questions, so. If you have any, please let me know.
I guess my only question is, do you anticipate the participation rate being in something like this? Is it music by students who are in their upperclassmen, or do underclassmen have time in their schedule to put this in?
It was upperclassmen.
We're
starting with 10. But I think they actually had more than that this year already that wanted to take it.
We have a guitar in that.
We still have guitar.
We still have that.
Mm-hmm. Just speaking of numbers, what would be the minimum number of students that we would be the cut line for having a class?
Well, this year, the minimum would probably be about 5 or 6, but we already have 10, that's my understanding. In most classes, I start looking at Mr. Sanger if there's less than 15, and I say, are we running this, or are we not?
So we would have about, so there were about 120 students who signed up for Piano Lab, and I think we have 10 that would actually, I'm talking about any topic my cutoff point, in working with Dr. Mark, it's usually about 15 for just a general class, and about anywhere from 5 to 10, depending on the age of a course and an AP course. So anywhere from 5 to 10. If it's a new course just starting off and we want to build numbers, we might run up with 5 or 6 students in it. But as time develops, usually by year 3, that course has about 15 to 30 students.
And we've been very careful not to establish a policy on that for that very reason. Some of those AP courses might be low subscribed, but we want to have difficult.
Thank you.
The other action item is we're at the approval of affidavits of guardianship time, and so you have access to those that we've received so far. It's About the same as we usually have at this time of year. So, any questions about the affidavits? And then I have an information item, which is a little short, as in, we do have this course on our schedule for the fall, but the teacher had to go to training, and then on top of that, the AP people changed the course, so we had a new curriculum, and they gave us a new book. So I've given you a copy of the syllabus for the AP United States Government and Politics, and I've also given you three of the units. I feel very, very confident that it's, after looking at it, that it's a very strong course. It's an AP course, and I also think the book is a very good complement to the course as well. So I have the book here, and I have the entire unit curriculum for AP if you'd like to look at it. But this will be an information item and an action item in September.
We hadn't purchased the other textbooks, had we?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. We have not. So
yeah, no,
right now he can start teaching it, but you know, textbook he can do without. There's a lot of free resources.
Yeah, look, well, I looked over and it looked really good, but that's, you know, like kind of thing that interests me. So
mm-hmm.
students that take it, I think, will be well rounded and understanding it. And it definitely, you know, there's been discussion about civics and
mm-hmm.
it certainly ties that in.
It does. So I have the book if anybody wants to look at it.
Okay.
There are no more questions, that is my report.
Right. Any other questions or comments on the program committee, the courses? If hearing none, then we'll move into management committee. Dr. Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Yoder. A couple of items that are carryovers from last month. Action item 8, policy 832.1. If you recall, since we are collecting so much information on folks these days because of the security clearances, our solicitor is recommending we implement this policy. Written by the solicitor, so I think we're good to go there. The other thing is action item letter B. This was a resolution that the board discussed early this summer, talking about all the commercials we hear on the radio about free public or free charter schools, cyber charter schools, and knowing that they're really not free because it costs us money. Thank you, Matt. We love music. Don't tell them I told you to go out there. So we do have that resolution that I drafted that we would look for approval. If there's any other wordsmithing that anyone wants to do, I'm happy to do that. I did do some research and looked at some of the information that was available to create that resolution. Again, when they advertise that charter schools are free, they're not free, they cost us anywhere between $10,000 and $15,000 per student. Actually, it's a little higher than $15,000 now, especially as being a student per student. And so it's not free. So we're asking the General Assembly specifically to forbid that practice going forward. And we'll send that resolution to the General Assembly and to our local representatives once you approve it. Any questions or comments?
I do have a comment on that, and because with the resolution and wording is so crucial, I do think that every time that they advertise that I hear, they say tuition free. And that would be the argument probably that if we say just that they're advertising that it's free, they're saying, no, we're not saying that, we're saying that it's tuition free to the parents, which it's not really, because they're paying property taxes, if they, you know, are paying property taxes. But I think it is important to have maybe that in there.
Something about
just saying that advertising that is tuition free, because that's deceptive in itself. But I think if we don't put that in, I think their argument will be, well, no, we don't say that. We say tuition free.
Okay.
So I don't know. Maybe others have heard differently, but that, whenever I've heard it, I think that that's what they said.
So I added the word tuition.
Tuition.
Under be it resolved, right before the last word free, to say yeah. that their service is tuition free.
Yeah, I think this is my opinion.
Maybe a disclaimer for every student you send to a charter school, your local property tax will go up $27.
That may be going too far.
That might not be accurate. Part of the problem about this whole thing is, depending on the school district, the number changes. You know, ours is 10, 18. Peckway Valley's could be 11 and 19, and Manon Township's could be 8. And there's no rhyme or reason.
You could have given it to Chris and you could have given it to somebody else.
Maybe. Okay.
Just to follow up on that, for this coming school year, what we pay the charter school for regular education student is just under $12,000 per student. Special education is just over
$24,000. Okay. Way off.
Very good.
And all that's, like, there's no rhyme or reason. That is indicative of, so our staff is starting to get older, therefore they're making more, therefore our cost per student is more. Not older, more seasoned, ladies. More experienced. But I mean, all those wild variables contribute to that number, which makes, there's no connection between that number and the operation of those schools. It's absurd. Okay, we'll make that one change and bring that back for action next week. The third action item I have is the official appointment of Mr. Good as the district safety and security coordinator. Fortunately, we have had him in that position now for the last 4 years. This is something that came out of the General Assembly this summer. This is a requirement now. All school districts must appoint an administrator to this role and then perform the tasks that are outlined. Fortunately, we've been doing that. Steve's been attending these meetings at the IU. There'll be some additional meetings. And there'll be some additional events that he needs to coordinate. But we're rolling that in under his area of operation. So there's no additional finance, no additional salary for Steve. These are just duties he's been doing. It's really an official approval of the title that you folks need to do by rule, by legislation. So that's what that item is. Essentially, nothing's changed other than there are some additional requirements that we need to do as a school district. They're pretty lengthy, and Steve will coordinate some of that. So, if they couldn't get it in the hall, they're going to get it outside.
You always know when fall is coming when you hear the drum line outside.
Is it me or is it the same song every year? It seems like it's the same. All right. So they're the action items. A couple of information items. Just a reminder to the board, the General Assembly also passed a requirement that you are required to have some training every couple of years. So just keep that on your radar. We'll begin looking for some fun things for you folks to do. That's both for new board members and sitting board members, even if you have 20 years. 23. I knew it was over 20. I wasn't sure. Even you 23-year-old veteran still need training.
I'm sure they probably did it, but did they specify?
No. A PD still coming up.
Couldn't have my grandfather PD. Did, but I don't have to take part.
Well, I don't think so. A couple other items. Thank you. The administrators met for our summer retreat, and we had a phenomenal day. Really focused, spinning off of the mini retreat that we had at the board last winter. A couple of things that came out of that. Just going to give you a teaser. We're not ready for a full presentation, official presentation, but the administrators are seeking the approval of a new district vision and the vision statement that we hope to make part of our new discussion is this in draft form. Empowering learners as global thinkers and producers. And there's a whole lot of thought and logic behind that very short phrase. But we want the phrase to be something that folks can remember and can use. And each word in that vision statement, again, empowering learners as global thinkers and producers is the vision statement that the district would like to
to recommend at some point. We started working on the mission statement. We're still working on that and some other aspects. But I think as we start talking about sort of the new operating paradigms for the district, mass customization, this vision statement very much meets our needs and will meet our needs for some years to come. So we're excited about that. It was, again, a great conversation at our retreat here a few weeks ago. Any comments or questions on that? I just want to tip my hat to the CrossNet Ministries. Got a text from Meredith today. Let me just pull that up real quick. They have 1,000 backpacks ready for our kids. Should we need them? There's the giveaway, I believe it's tomorrow. Brian, is that right, tomorrow?
I think it is tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Not only do they have the backpacks, but they students will be able to get clothes. Meredith sent me a picture of a convoy of trucks and trailers full of clothes headed our way from the outer ring of our district. It's a great picture. It sort of has the Route 23, by accident, has a Route 23 sign in the background with a sign that says what direction different places are. So Malvern's one way, and Phoenixville is so much fun. But it's a really cool shot, actually, of a whole two truckloads of clothes coming for our kids. On top of that, CrossNet is also arranged for our students to get haircuts. We even have hairdressers who will do ethnic styles for a minority population that we have and that we have growing here, eye screenings, dental screenings, and more. I don't know where we would be without CrossNet Ministries. I really honestly don't. We would need to hire a whole host of social workers and put a whole lot of money into donating it to families. It's a phenomenal organization. It continues to grow. They continue to come up with new ways to serve us. It's amazing. So we're very fortunate to have them, as I've said many times, but I wanted to bring it up again. Sadly, those services are really needed, but fortunately, we have. So our kids are really coming to school better prepared for our teachers when they show up. So thanks to them. Just a few reminders. I'm moving on to announcements. The board is welcome to drop in anytime next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. The teachers are back. It's our in-service days. You're specifically invited to the opening comments, which actually occur on the third day this year. Mr. Yoder will be there to make a few remarks, as well as some other special folks. And then I will be sharing what I think is our next big challenge and some of the directions that we hope to see the district go in on Thursday, a week from Thursday. Bus drivers are back tomorrow. We have that meeting starting at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. And new teachers are back today, or tomorrow. Everyone, all the new teachers are here tomorrow. So we have 30 new teachers coming up, another large group. Every year we say this will be the last time we have a large group, but we continue to have new folks coming in. We've added some teachers this year, as you know. So we're pleased that we have 30 new folks coming to join us. I believe that concludes my report. One other thing, Connie Sailors. Connie Sailors is our behind the wheel instructor. She's a private person that we allow access to our kids here. Connie has verbally said that she will be retiring this fall and will no longer be seeing students, so we do need to talk about a replacement plan for Connie. If you recall, the students get the classroom experience here on site, which they've been doing with Mr. Stern in the summertime. Then they can take their behind-the-wheel experience with Connie and also test for their driver's license here with Connie. I would love to be able to continue that service if at all possible. We've got to start looking for vendors to do that. That was a real service that was offered to kids at a very affordable price. It's a great deal to practice with the same person you're testing with on the same route that you practiced on. So we're really hoping we can replace Connie. She will be missed. But she also has a desire to retire, and we understand that too. So that does conclude my report. Thank you.
Could you ask her if she has somebody in mind that she would train?
We can ask. Yeah, that's a good idea. Thank you. Any comments or questions on the management report? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments or announcements? Thanks to Kyle and Megan for not only coming but staying for the whole meeting. That's impressive. And officially welcome you aboard. So I would look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. We are adjourned.